How many heard that song before? Oh my gosh. Might as well say, who has not heard that song before? What a great message in song. I didn't put the video on because I wanted you to hear the words. I want you to hear the words. Sometimes the video can work. Dave Crowder, a man who has changed his band name because he felt this was more of a personal interest at this point in his life than a band having a multiple person interest. With multiple voices, he went from Dave Crowder Band to Crowder. This is my story. This is what I want to tell you. And this song is birthed out of, thank God my yesterday's gone. All my hope is in Jesus. Man, that's a great song. Welcome this morning. Congratulations, hats, horns, and spiritual everything to our Spanish church service. And those of you who work with it and have been praying for it. 2 years. Hey, it may be 2 years, but it's eternity for some. The baptisms, the conversations, the pain, the suffering, the struggle, the success, all of it. And with a family that gave up much to begin a new life on Catalina Island. And we know what that's like to some degree, too, in our mission work. And it's not easy, but they have stood the test of 2 years. Well done to them. And well done to those of you who survived prom. And you're awake. I think there's one. It's my daughter. I got to see her for the service. I'm like, how was it? Just checking in with her last night. And she had a wonderful evening. It looked like she could muster some kind of a smile there. It looked like a lot of fun. Thank you to all of the volunteers and a couple of you key leaders that are in this room that put this together last night after prom. Yeah, let's give it up for them. You know, I, as a parent, I have a vested interest in that clap, okay? After prom, there's a lot of choices to be made, one of which is a great event that the church for many years has put on from someone who was in this church for many years, Judy Hips, if I'm not mistaken, that birthed that event, and it's still going strong. Thank you. You know, we're moving all over the place, it seems like, in Avalon. This is that time of the year. I would love to say the weather's warming up, but the last couple of days just feels like it's February all over again. It's still beautiful, though. A lot of interesting faces, and it's a great time of the year to people watch, isn't it? Silent Film Festival's here, and you have people with their canes walking up and down. Then you have the prom. Then you have those getting out of boats and those that have got the bedhead look, and they're looking for a shower, you know, and those that are just here to get away. But no matter what we've said here, everybody in here, and no matter where you're from or if you're visiting, everybody here does look the same when it comes down to inside stuff. And I know that this week I carried my burden. I carried my fair share of this. Some in here are enduring physical pain. I know of some even right before the service I heard may have to take this person home. Her shoulder's not well. She's not feeling well. She's in physical pain. Others this week have endured much. In terms of emotional pain, last month has been very difficult for you. There are different degrees of pain. And no matter what, you're, you know, going to seize the day, or other days it seems to seize you and it captures you. But there are different degrees of pain. The reality is, if you're not in pain now, somewhat dying in a pile of pain and waiting for you right around the corner may be your fair share. It is a cycle through life. It is the way we get rooted in our faith. For others, it's a way to get stumbling in theirs, or even to fall off track and just say, I'm the heck with it. I'm done with all of it. And so for the last few weeks, we have been walking through this thing, trying to endure, yes, but move forward. What does God have to say about pain? Why is there pain? And what in the world does he want to do with pain? And the other thing we said about it is there's different flavors of pain. Some of the pain is in direct result to the decisions that we make. Personally, I've made some really stupid decisions. As a result, my decisions have cost me pain. And they brought negative consequences, and you're reaping pain in your life. But sometimes it's not based on your decisions, but what other people have done to you and their decisions that they've made. And for that, I'm very sorry. But I know the reality is this, that no one in here is ever going to be free from pain. until we really talk about this third step today. Depending on God, flowing with Christ. I sat there going, what the heck is the title of this message this week? And Reed was on my balcony for an event we had, and he was just talking about going with the flow. Just going with the flow and just kind of flowing into it. And I sat there going, that's it. That's it right there. Have you ever let go and just gone with the flow? Sometimes it's dangerous. But in this context, it fits perfectly. To go with God's flow. What is he doing? This week, I got a dangerous letter, and I've had to actually seek some additional help with this. We have a large FCA group right now. We had 37 show up this week. 37. Almost ran out of food. And can I read you what this one guy wrote? Little letter that came through. Said, I moved across the border away from everything I ever knew as a kid. Technically speaking, I left my girlfriend behind. My best friend is mad at me because he saw me smoking just recently. My life is slowly going to hell, I feel, and I don't know how to cope with it. I'm trying, but nothing seems to work. And my fear is that I won't be able to cope with it. My life is so upright right now. There's some stuff I don't even want to say to people. I've just finished the biggest fight I've ever had with my dad. It hurt to fight him. I cried myself all night, last night, and I really need help. And it was anonymous, but I knew exactly who the story was for. And one of the things I want to say in this series is if you stay anonymous with your pain, it's not going to help. In this series, I can't fix this. God wants us to break out of that. Completely begin the healing process. I stand up here because I am in a healing process. I could be just one step ahead of some of you out there. But I am definitely not standing up here saying, I'm free of my pain. Forget it. I'm working through things. And I know God wants to continue that work. Amen? Yeah. And at some point, you got to step up and actually do what we've been talking about. First week, we talked about getting help. And, you know, this TV was kind of the illustration of our pain. And in a lot of ways, it may be really huge. And we tend to want to just kind of keep it there and go about our day and just kind of, it's my pain. My pain, got it. It's good. Looking good. Yeah, Mitsubishi, 13-inch, picture in picture. I've learned how to make my pain look cool. And that pain feels right, and we can handle it around in social circles. We're good. The pain fits where it needs to fit until everybody goes home. And we're sitting down at the club, and it's about 3 in the morning, and everybody's gone. And I'm having to lug my pain around, okay, and I'm constantly having to deal with this. The next morning I wake up, and it's even heavier, and I'm just hugging my porcelain throne. And all of a sudden, I just can't fix this anymore. And we talked about how we have to let go of this, but happy or blessed, Matthew 5 says, are those who realize their need for him. Who's that? God. God blesses those who realize their need for him. They just stick up the white flag and say, I'm done. All my hope is in Jesus, right? Dang it, my yesterdays are gone. So is a Mitsubishi. Right now, it's only this big or whatever it is. But thank God it's gone. I'm lighter. I don't have to pose. What I am is what I am. What you see is what you see. We have the white flag up. We say, I need your help, God. Step two we talked about was the hope step. Thank goodness we turned the corner. Matthew 5:4, God blesses those who mourn, for they will be what? Comforted. Some of you last week, including myself, needed those exact words. You are grieving, and I've been there, even over the holidays, and you needed to be comforted. We said that when you break it down, you mourn, you grieve, you really open up to an answer. And the one that was opening up to God realized he loved me, and he cares for me, and he has the power to heal me and take away my pain. And if you stop there, I mean, if you stop there, I admit I'm powerless, I can't control my life, I'm open to God healing my pain. If you stop there, you're in trouble. You are in trouble. So today, is really the step where the healing begins. That's what we're talking about today, flowing with Christ. There you go, Reed. I realize I need to turn my life over to Him. I literally go with His flow. And underline that. Take a look at your notes. You were given notes today. They're really important because the verses on there are not my word. They're God's word. And underneath that, turn my life over to Christ. Go with His flow. Underline, turn my life over. I need to depend on Him in all areas. Circle all. It's a big thing, especially for those of you in here that are stumbling right now, including all that I say, think, and do. Last night, we had a lot of football players that went to prom. And I remember Coach Mike, and at the end of the week of practices, and prom was on the horizon, and there was the challenge. Guys, represent. Be aware. I want you to be mindful what you do that night. Make us proud. When prom is over, do the right thing. Encouraging them. How many have heard of Chick-fil-A? Probably because I mention it every week, right? I consider myself a connoisseur of Chick-fil-A's. I don't know. I don't have a better word. I grew up in the South, and Chick-fil-A's were on every corner, and for a while there, they were just in malls, but they started in Atlanta, and they ended up in Tampa, and they're all over the place. All I know is, just recently, I went to one that had opened up less than 6 months ago, and I walked into utter chaos. It was nuts. It had a playland. Parents were literally learning their lesson. Kids need to eat their food before they go into the playland. The playland was nasty. The doors were open. It pretty much smelled like socks in the back of the store. There were people everywhere. It was lunchtime. If you've never been in Chick-fil-A, it's kind of like an In-N-Out from 12 p.m. to about 1 p.m. or 11:30 to about 12:30 p.m. It's mayhem in there. But typically, they have great service. They usually have two people in the drive-thru even, standing outside. People outside welcoming you as you come in, holding the door for you. They value lunchtime and push you through quickly. And I noticed that, and I like going there for that reason. But I noticed this one time, it was out of control. I was looking around for a manager, and I saw him. He was a young guy. He was like 11, okay? Seriously, he was. He was running the whole place. It was out of control. I want you to pretend with me for a second. Okay, just for a second, that it was worse than what I'm about to tell you, what I just told you. Let's just say it was way worse, that this literally was a high schooler, and he was running the Chick-fil-A, and it's out of control. Let's say his employees weren't even working. They were just in the back, and they were making out, okay? Waffles, fries are on fire, and customers are yelling. People are just stealing money right out of the cash register. It's absolutely out of control. There's anarchy happening in the playland. Four-year-olds are taking over, holding moms hostage. Imagine, we've got this whole place. And then the manager, let's say his name is Skip. Skip decides, I can't do this. I don't like lunchtime anymore. This is out of control. And at some point, Skip says, this is out of control. I'm out of control. I don't even understand what's happening. So Skip goes back to the Chick-fil-A manager's office, and he pulls out the manual, and he realizes, oh, the founder of this place, Truett Cathy, I need to get him on the phone. And he looks up the guy. Truett Cathy started Chick-fil-A. He reads all about Truett Cathy. And if you ask him, Truett Cathy will come to Chick-fil-A, and he'll take control for you. He'll take it over. Why? Because he started it on a certain quality and a certain foundation. He understands this is what it looks like. Not the little, you know, the little guys. This was the big kahuna. So he calls Truett. And he shows up, sees what's going on, and they trade little visor hats for the real hat. The real guy's in there, and all of a sudden he locks the door until things are under control. That's the illustration of our lives. You and I are Skip. We're out of control, and there's pain going on. At some point, step one, I can't. I've been trying. So some of you in here, it breaks my heart, literally, because we go through this cycle a lot. But there's this hemorrhage going on, and you want to put Band-Aids on it. There's a person not in the service right now, and we're counseling, going through a lot. But sometimes that Band-Aid is just a joint or a party or a sexual relationship. It becomes a Band-Aid on the pain. This young man, actually, he's a young adult man, took off from the state of California to check out a possible relationship recently. He wanted closure, if nothing else. And that's what he got, was closure. It was nothing else. So he came back here, and to put a Band-Aid on the hemorrhage, started up a relationship here based on some of the wrong things. And it's out of control in his life. And at some point, my buddy has got to say, Hobbs, I can't fix that. Dude, let's go to the brew house and talk for a minute in the morning. I need some time. I need some prayer. I have tried some things my way, and I'm noticing I can't control it. Because if you would, and if he would have, what? He would have. And if you could, you would. So I go to step two. I'm open to somebody else coming in here to take over. I can't handle this. I'm going to lose customers. Kids are taking over. No one's going to come back. I'm posing. I switch hats. I depend on God. I want that flow of His life in my life. I want Him to take over and control. And I surrender. And I'll surrender my pain to God. But guess what? A lot of people do. And this is where my friend and I butt heads. He has surrendered his life to God in the degree of pain. Let me explain. He's let his pain come out, and he's talking to me and talking to God about the pain in his life. But the rest of his life is still in his own control, doing whatever he wants. Does that make sense? I'll give you this, but I'm going to hold this. Wrong answer. And it doesn't work like that. God wants all of your life. He wants you to completely flow with Him, depending upon Him for all of it. Not, I'll give you this, but I'm going to hold that. And what keeps us from doing this? Let's look at this verse. God blesses the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Circle meek. Pride. Hate that word. Because a lot of times that's a definition in my own life for the problems that I face. Pride. It's a big deal. Put a line connecting meek and pride. Really, meekness is the opposite of pride. And guess what? In this controlled confidence in who God is and what He can do in your life, meekness is a security. It's a peace. And the opposite of meekness is pride. I define pride as elevating the importance of myself. Meekness is the confidence in who God is and what He can do. And pride comes in, and what it does is it devours any hope of that meekness, and it keeps us from admitting that I need help. Guys, there's a lot of pain in this room. A lot of it has to do with pride. Pride keeps us from admitting that help. A lot of us don't even make it to step one because we can't admit it. Pride is the big deal. It's just like I know with my dad, when we were on a trip somewhere and we were completely lost, everybody knew it. Dad, just stop and ask for directions. No, we're fine. As we took the scenic route for hours, that's pride. Keeps us from depending upon Christ, which is the third step. Proverbs 16 says this, "The Lord despises pride. Be assured." And if you're not tracking with me right now, I just want you to know, these are not Andrew's words. If you're visiting today, these are God's words, okay? This is what He says. "Be assured that the proud will be punished." Verse 18, "Arrogant people," which is reflected in pride, "are on their way to ruin because they won't admit it when they need help." Proverbs 29, "Pride ends in humiliation," while humility, okay, being humble, meekness, "brings honor." Isaiah says about what's going to happen someday at the end of time, at the end of your time, "The day is coming when your pride will be brought low and the Lord alone will be exalted." Now, I don't claim to be the smartest guy on the planet, okay? I've done my 4 years of high school and 4 years of college and continuing education, graduate work with sports management, schoolwork. I'm licensed, I'm ordained, I watch people, though, and I watch things happen in my life. I'm sitting here at 49 years of age. I know this, that people that smoke will eventually get cancer. If you jump from a tall building, gravity will take over, and you will fall very hard, and it will hurt, okay? There are some things you can just watch and learn over time. Got it? Get it? Right? You don't need to sit here and learn this stuff on the internet or wherever else. I've seen it, and yeah, this looks like a duck. It's quacking like one. Darn it, that thing is a duck. Here's another thing I've learned. And Reed mentioned this in our announcements and started the fertile soil here. Pride leads to humiliation. If you're too prideful to say, yeah, I need help. I realize that some of you, you may be here on an invite. Others may be forced to be here. I don't know. But there is pride here. And some have this pride look. Okay, pal, hey, who are you to tell me? Okay? And that keeps you from having your heart changed. These are God's words. Keeps you from having your life changed. Keeps you from looking back and forth for Band-Aids. Instead, you look for Band-Aids, for answers, instead of getting some real heart surgery and going with His flow. One of the reasons we jump into that pride is fear of rejection. That was me. I don't want to be rejected. I don't want to be abandoned. I want that, whatever it is, popularity. I want to be in the in crowd. That's pride. Some of you in here, you don't want to people to think you're a Jesus freak. Maybe if they know you're a Christian, especially in a very tight-knit employee workplace where, you know, it's just a small team and everybody knows everybody and everybody knows everything about everybody. And all of a sudden they hear that you've crossed the line and received and become a follower of Jesus. Now you're afraid they're going to know you're possibly a Jesus freak or label you one. That's pride. Some of you in here, you say, I don't want to give up some stuff. It's pride. Some say, I've got some real intellectual questions that aren't answered. Well, guess what, man? I've got mine too. The Bible, there's a great mystery to most of it, but that's a form of pride too. Pride keeps us from depending on Christ. It also affects your faith. Just the word depend. Everyone here depends on something. Some worship the earth itself. We must have this. If we lose these, we lose the planet. Think about it. Everybody here depends on something. Some of you in here depend on your family to make it through life. Some depend on a relationship with a boyfriend or a girlfriend. My happiness is sustained on this person. Some of you depend on your status, your image, possibly where you work, your level in the company, or stuff. It's a social circus, and you're right in the middle of the ring. The bottom line is you're already depending on something. What I want to challenge you to do is you really want to get some healing, to let the healing actually begin working in your life. Stop depending upon the Band-Aids and depend on Jesus Christ. Amen? That's why you come. That's why some of you are here. You've been invited because there's something different than a Band-Aid that could fix this. How do I do that? Let's flow with Him. Number one, you commit your life to God. Notice I didn't say commit your life to church. I didn't say commit your life to Christian music. I didn't say commit your life to being busy. And I've been guilty of all three. I said commit your life to God. The word we use is submission. Committing your life to God. You submit your life over to Him. You say, I give it over. Like the Chick-fil-A illustration, I give my manager role over to you. This is chaos. What a great song we heard earlier. You may not have a clue at how this song was written. Here's a couple minutes with Crowder himself telling you where the vision for this song came. And I think you're going to be blown away. Check this out.
So I got invited to this party this year that was like not like any other party I've been to before, and it was like unbelievable. We were traveling, happened to be in this town where I had gotten word from some friends. There's a prodigal party, and I'm like, what's that? And they explained a little bit about it, and so we show up, and it's a ton of people there, you know, I don't know, a lot of people. And we've been asked to bring guitars. We're going to play some songs just acoustically. You know, everybody's going to sing together. And it turns out the deal is this guy, Wilson, who has been in prison for 26 years, is getting out. And these are his friends and family, and they're going to celebrate Wilson's physical freedom. And it's incredible. So we get word, Wilson's on his way. He's about here. He's almost here. So we get in these lines. Feels like very athletic, like we're in the NBA, and like Wilson's going to run through and get fives or something. But and the energy level's at least that high. Sure enough, when he comes to the door, everybody goes nuts. And the look on his face, it's just gorgeous. Because these are friends and family that have known him prior to his entry and, you know, had rejected him. And then now throughout the process of his stay, Wilson's come to know Jesus, and he's been reunited with his family members, and they're there, and his friends are there, his new friends, old friends, and it's all about celebrating Wilson's freedom. And it was unbelievable. We've sang a few songs together. I don't know if they've ever felt that potent. I mean, you never heard people sing like this. They were singing like they meant every bit of it, and so we just roll out this All My Hope song. We're just rolling it out to radio. And I want it to feel like that moment felt. And it is perfect. In that second verse, it starts, you know, I'm no stranger to the prison. And there's not a single one of us that can't identify with and understand what it feels like to be shackled and bound to something. And that we know we're not living in the freedom that we've been given through Christ. And this song, it's so hopeful because our hope is in something as grand as the salvific action of the one and only Son of God. And I got to see a physical manifestation of what that looks like to find physical freedom. And that's what I want from my interior. And that's what this song's all about. My hope is in Jesus.
Ah, it's just great. Yeah, you don't become a Christian by committing your life to church. You can find him there. But you've got to go a step further. You know, it's got to go a step further. I commit my life to Jesus. I give myself over to him, okay? I go to my wife and I date night. Maggie's Blue Rose is great. It doesn't make me a 7-layer burrito. I try really hard to go there and get out of there. I'm not an employee there. I'm not going to be there. You know, I love that food there. My wife's introduced me to some great food there. But that's all it is. Okay, and for some of you, this is just a gathering. It's just a congregation. And there's some great food here too, downstairs. And there's some great connection here too. Multicultural, feels good, different ages. I've even got childcare. Awesome. But you need to depend on Jesus. Be careful that it doesn't become a social thing and you forget the main thing. And when we keep the main thing, we come here because all my hope is in Jesus. My yesterdays are gone. I mean, my friends help me, and my friends remind me of that, but my hope is not in this, because there may be 4 people sitting in this service next week, or there could be 104. All my hope's in Jesus. How do I depend on Christ? I commit my life to him. Deuteronomy 30 says, choose. It's a great gift from God. God gives us free choice. We choose, okay? God doesn't force his will on us. He chooses. To love the Lord your God, commit yourself to him, for he is your life. Psalm 37, commit everything you do to the Lord. Trust him. He will help you. The first step, commit your life to God. It's a one-time ultimate submission. One time when you say, God, I'm taking off my manager hat. I'm done. I've tried, but I'm letting go. Jesus, take the wheel, so to speak. I'm done. And if you've ever done that, maybe this is your 1,000th time to attend this church. But if you've never done that, I encourage you to do it today. Do it today. Let it go. And I don't care if you've been going since you were knee-high to a grasshopper like me. I've heard it. I've been to it. Lots of Billy Graham crusades. Attended every summer camp. I've followed it my life. But the malaise comes off when you accept a real and personal invitation from a real and personal Savior. Really, you're not depending on Christ if you've never made that decision, that choice. You're depending upon church and attendance or something like that. So break off of that. Break away. Number 2, change your mind towards God. Your mind. Look at that in your notes. My big shot word for you is transformation. Romans 12 says, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you to a brand new person. By changing the way you think, then you'll know what God wants to do. You'll know how good and pleasing his perfect will really is. And some of us in here are stumblers. I know how honest you are. You say, I'm a stumbler. I'm not sold out. I'm not a seeker. I'm more, but I'm definitely up and down spiritually, a lot more down. And yes, I'll depend on Christ. I want a relationship. I do want that, but you face the same way. Your thinking hasn't changed at all. You haven't allowed God to change the way you think, and you still think the world's way instead of God's way. In other words, I want it, but my vision doesn't change, and I just keep going the direction I'm going. There's this young lady that, there's actually three, but two said, I'm interested in playing soccer this year, and I've never, ever touched a soccer ball. So I was like, okay, welcome to the team. These are cleats. And this is a shin guard. It goes down there, okay? And this is how it works. And you can't use your hands. This is how it looks. And we started from scratch, literally, with three players. Two took us seriously. One became a goalie, never played goalie in her life. And we had a full-time trainer just teach her how to play goalie. The other was in fairly good condition from running on a cross-country team. And she took it seriously, but it took us forever to get through to her. You know why? Because she had talked herself out of it. And there's some wounds there as a reason for that, but she literally was saying, I suck. I suck in school. I suck in running. I suck in putting my cleats on. I suck at sucking. I just suck in this social club. In fact, no one in this team even likes me. Why am I even doing this? Because you said I can do it? I'm thinning out here. In fact, when I get on the field, I feel like everybody's staring at me versus I have a chance to perform what I've learned. There's this little statue that sits up there at the field. You've seen it maybe if you've been up there recently. There's a football player and a little soccer player. It's about 2.5, 3 feet tall. And I went up there one day and I just put my jersey on top of that thing and said, you know what? This is your field, you guys. This is a symbolic little thing here of this is Lancer lady territory, Lancer men territory. This is your home field. And slowly but surely, the message started to go in that I have only one field, and I am an islander. They're not islanders. I am an islander. And slowly but surely, some healthy pride started to come in there. Some confidence was in there. But beyond a shadow of a doubt, the enemy was still there, constantly trying to talk her out of this. And before you know it, this young lady felt like quitting the team entirely. And we came to a head. There was a climactic moment there where she had to make a decision. She had to make a decision. And the decision wasn't just, should I stay on the team? It's, should I even keep doing this stuff, being a teenager? I'm sick of living. It's pretty hardcore. You see where the enemy goes? You see what he wants to do? Are you kidding me? And I kicked into more than pastor mode. I kicked into shepherd protector. And I went in. I was like, Mom, hey, wake up. This isn't about soccer anymore. This is serious. And I think you need a little sabbatical with your kid. I stepped out of the way, offered some assistance, but stepped out of the way, allowing Mom to be Mom. And then I prayed like I've never prayed before for this kid. And I asked God for help. And I knew that this person has heard about God. I didn't know if they've received him or accepted him, but I invited that thought back into it. I way stepped over my coaching boundaries. But something bigger than coaching soccer and this is your Islander experience had to take place because life was on the line. It's a good reminder to say the enemy wants to change the way you think. You know how many kids were suckered last night after prom was over? How many minds were being worked because it was dark? It works in the dark a lot of times. And narcotics and other things get in there. Do you understand what the enemy wants to do in your mind? When God's Spirit resides in you, he begins to work your life over. And you know what happens? After a while, that mantle of love and forgiveness comes on to a very pale statue of your life, and it puts life back into you. I am a Christian. I am a follower of Jesus. And I've got this, man. I got this. Where was this? And for those of you Lord of the Rings fans, you remember Theoden and what it took to get that stuff out of him, right? And when it came back, and he's like, where? As Wormtongue was right in his ear. Remember that? And then Gandalf hands him the sword. You'll remember things a lot better with this, buddy. Get back in the game. And that mantle comes on. And that young lady not only played for our team, but she showed up at the meeting this week. She's coming back next year. She's encouraged with life. Still, there's a lot of things that are there, but she's not carrying around 13 inches picture in a picture trying to make it look good. Some of you can identify with that. All I do is the things I don't want to do. Darn it, I don't do the things I want to do. Who said that? Oh, we're in good company. When you let God change the way you think, it doesn't happen overnight. It's a what? Process. He can change the way you think. And when you change the way you think, as I looked at this young lady, I say, guess what? You'll change the way you act. Your thinking comes first. Transforming of your mind. Let him change your mind. Girls, you like a guy. You think he's cute, he's wonderful, but you know he doesn't even know you exist. So, as a matter of fact, you probably think he doesn't even like you. Because that's the way you think. So if that's the way you think, you stay away from him. And you keep your distance. You're always kind of eyeing him, but you think he doesn't know you exist. So you stay away. But what happens when all of a sudden you think he does know you exist? What happens when he saw you and he smiled? What happens when he winked at you? All of a sudden you're walking down that street, your golf cart happens to go down his road, you know, your razor, your bike, whatever. All of a sudden you're just kind of cruising down next to where he's working all the time, you know. If you're in high school, maybe it's the change of, and you're going down his locker area. Why? Because all of a sudden, I'm known. I know he recognizes me. And it changed the way I think. And my actions start to change. Why? God is winking at me right now. He's loving on me right now. He's put this mantle on me right now. I woke up this morning with this thing on my back and it doesn't say kick me. It doesn't say kill me. It doesn't say spit on me. It says I am loved. And as a result, I'm going to spend a little bit more time with him. I'm going to hang out a little bit longer with him. I'm going to detour today. And I know that I should be doing something else right here because it's a to-do list item. But my to-do list is to spend time with that one who has been after me. And he loves on me. Commit your life to God, number one. It's the ultimate one-time submission. I want time with you. And guess what? It's a process. I became a Christian. I really believe a personal, understood decision for me at age 17. And about 10 years later, I'm looking at serving all over the place in a church. Busy, and I'm also full-time with a city, extremely busy programs underneath. And balancing a marriage and kids, young kids. And God had to work through me. Great hands had to stack in my life, including my wife's, to say, let's get back to the important commitments. Because you're getting very passionate about many things. And as a result, my manager situation was people are running everywhere and the playground's taking over my life. It looked like Chick-fil-A on Mayhem. Okay, I needed someone to come in. And I went back to say, I'm not altogether age 29. Complete me. Went to a boot camp with some guys. They actually drugged me there. They paid for everything. Otherwise, I would have never have gone. It was a free trip to Colorado as far as I'm concerned. And I literally was loved on, prayed for, and crap came to the surface in my life. And I handed it to Jesus. My life's never been the same. My marriage was saved. My parenting was back on track. I surrendered to a calling in my life. You see, God does these things when we commit to him and renew our mind. Because the enemy gets in there and it gets funky. Number three is connect with others. See, that stacking of hands, that's the critical part. Because some people go, oh yeah, that small group over there, that's for a certain type of individual. You know those women that go to that small group? This is the kind of women that they are. This is the kind of guys that they... Man, that's just posing. We are all in need of small group. We are all in need of time with God. And we are all in need of admitting our failures. Somebody needs to stack hands. If it's not, it's full of pride. The comment, the suggestion, all of it. That guy that came up a few years ago with wearing your pants down like a plumber look. You know what? I mean, he probably did it since he was 8. You know, pull your boxers up to your chest and you just drop your drawers. One guy started that, and what happened? Everybody started doing it. Everybody. Drove me nuts. 8 years old, he's probably doing that stuff. Who wants to identify? Have a different look. Don't feel like you got to. This is what we're doing in Avalon. Hobbs, what we do. Matt's down there in the teen center going, that's not what you do. Welcome to the teen center. We don't conform. We are transformed by the renewing of our mind. You want to play that video game? Let's talk first. You want to hang out? I got all the time in the world for you. Because I care for you. I'm connecting with you. I want to depend on Christ. And guess what? You're not hanging around with people maybe that do. It's time to get out of that. I'm sick of it, man. I worked in Descanso. It was an absolute most beautiful place I could ever work for a while. It was absolutely beautiful. In fact, the guy that I worked for lived there, had a house there. Absolutely stunning. After like 5 or 6 at night, he had the entire property to himself. No better place to work. And the next day, as people started to punch in and as people came in, it started to smell a little different over there. And it started to sound a little different over there. And people started to do things that I don't want to tell you what I saw over there. And the beauty changed very quickly. And it can be that way in all of Avalon. I need to remind you, God sustains you when you're surrounded by that stuff. Real beauty is found in the Creator of the universe and what He has created. We need to pray for our enemies. Pray for the things that don't smell good anymore. They got a stench to them. Don't give up. The beauty of Christ is found in those things. They are a creation of God, but not yet a child of God. That's the goal, see? One thing I'd encourage you to do is to get into a small group. If you're not in one, they meet all the time. We had a movie night this week, and a few kids took the challenge. It came out. I don't know if you've seen that movie, Radio. Radio, Cuba Gooding Jr. is a really great movie. The effects of bullying in a community. True story. And I'm not going to go into the details of it, but a bunch of students caught on to the trailer we played at FCA Club, and there they are. That was this week. A bunch of them came out and decided, you know what, let's embrace this theme, and I'll come out. Some people here try to depend on Christ, and if I were you, I'd hang out with them. I'd surround myself with them. Another thing that's just a practical thing I'd encourage you to do is to be baptized. I know that sounds kind of random, but as a believer, I encourage you. Jesus said two things, believe and be baptized. And for some reason, for whatever reason, it has been off of the list for you. And yet it's a command. God says a symbol of what's already happened to you on the inside is what I want to show people on the outside. That's the definition of baptism. It is not salvation. It's a reflection of something bigger that's already happened to you. Just like this ring, okay? I went through 3 or 4 or 5 rings. I don't even know how many wedding rings I went through until she finally drug me into a tattoo parlor and put one on permanently, all right? I had lots of other ones on there, and they flew off, and they broke, and paddling. One went to the ocean. We were investing a lot of money. My wife is like, okay, it's permanent now. But that's not my marriage. God says, I have work for you. But you're not telling anybody anything. I have things for you. I have people in your life that don't even know you. You know me. They don't even know you care about me. It's time to grow. It's time to change. It's time to depend on Him. And it's also time to move outside of yourself. Hebrews says, let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but I encourage you to warn each other. And that can happen in small group. James 5 says this, confess your sins to each other. Pray for each other so you might be healed in gossip. No, so you might be healed. Encourage one another in the confidence of a small group. Keep your story there. There's something about God's people hanging out with God's people and increases dependence. And you get to celebrate the journey with God as a result. Number four, I love to teach you guys a Christian life is a journey. It's not an overnight sensation. It's a journey. I'm on mine. You're on yours. What do we have to celebrate? God forgives you. He wants a relationship with you. Sanctification. Sanctification. A fancy word, beautiful word for journey. For journey. He's doing something in my life. It just means God's not done with me yet. And I'm sold out, some of you. But no one needs to know. Shh. You're on a journey. Why go it alone? I'm not going alone. I'm not going alone. I sat on that green pier last night, recognized how many people I know, how many I don't know and want to know. It's my personality, I think, to say, I don't want to be alone on this pier. I want to celebrate. This red carpet, it connects people. It connects people. Families came out to celebrate their teenagers all over the place. Some family members I never met. Some family members I haven't seen in a long time because they're behind the scenes working so hard. But everybody came out on the green pier for an hour or two. It's a chance to connect. Shh, I don't want people knowing. I don't want people to know all the friends that I'm missing out on. I'm missing out on this thing. And others, this holy huddle. You just have this small group and no one's allowed in. Remember how you first got started. Remember how you first were invited. The secret meeting of the saints grosses me out. Invite, share it, bring others in. And Jesus said, no, once you've been saved, you share it with the world. He didn't, in his final scene here, the last words of Jesus before he ascended to heaven, they were not, hey, dude, have a good summer. No, he said, you shall be my witnesses. I want to encourage you if your life is needing that boost. Watch what happens to your faith when you start inviting other people in it. Some of us here have forgotten the taste of grace. And I finish with this. I remember that taste of grace. I remember when I discovered it was personal. When I was a little kid, I hated some of the good foods. There was something about meatloaf. It drove me nuts. And I don't know, maybe it's just my mom's meatloaf. But I just couldn't eat it. And I remember my older brother, and he'd walk in the room. He's like, what are you doing still sitting at the table? I'm like, I do not want this meatloaf. I'm not eating this meatloaf. He'd be like, you're going to eat the meatloaf, dude. I'm like, I'm not eating the meatloaf. And all of a sudden, right next to me, he pulls out a Swiss cake roll, Little Debbie, and sits it on the table. He's like, you're going to eat the meatloaf. And I'm like, I will eat the meatloaf. The taste of grace was right there in front of me. And all I needed was that Little Debbie staring at me in the face. I literally downed that sucker. I probably held my nose, but I downed it. Why? Because I could have my thrill right afterwards. It was great. My wife comes home from whatever trip with all this wedding stuff going on a couple weeks back. And she dropped an entire box of Little Debbie Swiss cake rolls on my office. You know you did. They were gone in like a half hour. I literally, or less, I literally pulled one of those out and I was just, but about the third one down, I'm like, didn't taste like it did when I was six. Took me a minute. You know what I'm saying? It's been that long. I don't even think they sell them on the island. I don't know if they do. But it took me that long. For some of you, it's a Twinkie. For some of you, it's a Twizzler. I don't know what it is. But you come back to that when you're a teenager. You're like, you know, something about your palate has changed. And it does over a lifetime. But it just didn't taste the same. Maybe they're not using the same something, but it looked the same. But I came back to it and eventually finished the rest of them off. But I've forgotten that taste of grace. I've forgotten that taste of, oh man, some of us are like that with our faith. I'm a Christian. I'm part of the journey. But you've forgotten that taste. That invitation. I forgot. I was invited. I forgot. I thought that's just what we do. We always go to church. No, you were invited. Somebody stayed with it. Somebody stacked hands in your life. Guess what? I want to encourage you. Look at these open seats around you. I've had it. Amen. I've had it. Empty seats? Why? There's 4,000 people in this town. I'd love to see them fit in this room. I don't care if we have 62 services. I'll do every one of them. These seats need people who need the good news. And I encourage you, look at these open pews. Don't settle and say, this is what we do. We are always going to church. Why is your neighbor living like they are and they've never had an invitation? Why have you not even introduced yourself to your neighbor? I'm speaking to myself here. We need to introduce ourselves to our neighbors. These pews have names. These seats have names in eternity. Amen? They have names in eternity for not sitting here. We don't need an empty pew. It's not the design of this building. Everybody's in pain. Celebrate the journey with God and with someone else. 2 Corinthians 5 says, what this means is that those who become Christians become new persons. They're not the same anymore. The old life is gone. A new life is gone. Philippians 2, new life has started. For God is working in you. This is the journey, giving you the desire to obey Him, the power to please Him. Psalms 135, beautiful. Praise the Lord, for the Lord is good. Celebrate His wonderful name with music. Celebrate examples of His power. That's what we do here on weekends. This is our celebration service. This is a great place to invite people. I would say, without going too far into it, this is an entry-level program into a relationship with God. It's a safe place to invite your friends. They should be able to enjoy this. And when you're finished here, they should want more. I have this Bible. I don't even know how to open it. I love to pray. No one's taught me. And a small group forms. Well, let's hang out. Let's go get some coffee. Let's meet on the pier. And something of growth takes place. About 3 or 4 times a year, I like to take a little survey of where people are. I ask you to be honest. This is between you and me. Honestly. And I like just to find out the pulse of where you are. And if you're a visitor today, feel free to jump in as a visitor. You may be here and you're not a Christian. You may be here and you're not following Christ. Let's say it that way. Where are you? I put in your notes here a couple of things. There's some little sticky tabs here, okay? And I don't know if they've circulated around. And if they haven't, they are. Thank you, Michael. And we have tons of them, okay? What I'd like for you to do is just take a minute. And if you want, and I would ask for you to, this is between me and you, okay? Put your name and an email on there. Don't be anonymous, okay? Your name and your email. I've done one right here in front of you. And I have these little things here that I'm going to read. And I don't need you to write it all, but just put the letter of what works, okay? Of what you hear. And if our worship team can come on down right now, what I'd like for you to do is just take a minute. It's your name and your email. I will say this a third time. This is between you and me. Our church is not getting these as far as some other reason. This is a pastor. I'm getting the pulse of our congregation. That's what I'm doing. I put my name and my email on here. A, B, C, D, or E. Here it is. A. I've never depended upon Christ before, and I'd like to do that today for the first time. That's A. B. I have depended upon Christ before, and I've committed my life to Him, but I've never been baptized. I've never made that public identification as a Christian. That's B. C. I've made the choice to depend on Christ, but my mind and my connections, they haven't changed at all. I'm still kind of facing the world. C. D. I have depended upon Christ, but I'm going to celebrate my dependence by sharing God with others. E, the last one. No, I'm not even at step one yet. I don't even admit that I need anything. I'm just not there. And that's fine. A, I want to receive Christ today. I want to start something new. B, I've depended on Him. I've committed my life to Him, but I've never been baptized. I've never made that identification. C, I've made the choice to depend on Christ, but my mind and my connections haven't changed at all. I'm still facing the world's way. D, I've depended upon Christ, but I'm going to celebrate my dependence. I'm going to share God with others. Or E, I'm not there yet. It's all I need. I want to know how to pray for you, and I think it's fair. There's no way in this world I could go knee to knee and eye to eye all afternoon with everybody in this room. It's packed. But I can do this, and this helps me. And if you don't want to participate, that's just fine. Week one, I can't. Week two, God can, and He cares about me. And today, I trust Him to take control of my life. I'm going to go with His flow and let the healing begin. Here's where it starts. This is where it starts. Let's pray. As you leave here today, you can just fold those up and leave them in the sound booth there, and I'll get them from Matt and Gina. If you wrote down on your card A, that means I've been controlling my life, but I'm coming to church. I've never depended on God before, and I want to change that. You might say something in the silence of your heart like, God, I want a relationship with You. I want to depend on You. I hand over this crazy management of my life to You, not just my pain, but my whole life to You. As much as I understand, I want a relationship with You. Would You take control? It's not the words, my friends. It's the sincerity and motive of your heart. That's what's being said here. And that's the definition of a Christian. A Christ follower says, my heart is in tune with God. I want His Son. I want all that He's done for me. And I'm sorry, and I accept His forgiveness. I need it. And God, thanks for hearing our prayers. Thank You that You see our pain. Thank You that You have answers. Thank You that You love us. And it's not based on what we've done in the past. It's not based on how much we have our act together. Thank goodness. You love us because You created us, and You want a relationship with us. May the healing begin. We take this step to flow with You. Just let go and depend on You. Thank You in all this. In Jesus' name, amen.